Hey, K-State fans, Go Power Cat publisher Tim Fitzgerald letting you know that we've got a sale right now, 50% off an annual subscription to GoPowerCat.com. It ends on Thursday night, the 23rd of July at 11 p.m. Central. So take care of business as soon as you can. Hit the join button. It's a little green join button up there in the corner of the front page. GoPowerCat.com has been K-State owned and K-State operated since the beginning. And there's no reason we're ever going to change that. And pretty much we're the same team we always have been. Proven journalists covering Kansas State sports. We know K-State sports history, and we know K-State sports fans. Come join the Go Power Cat family. We've proven we're here to stay, and we always will be. 50% off. Get it done. Now here's the Power Cat Questions Podcast.
The following is a GoPowerCat.com and Spirit Street production. You've discovered your link to GoPowerCat.com's PowerCat Questions Podcast, presented by Fridge Wholesale Liquor, and it starts right now. Now, let's go to the WTC Gig Powered Studios. Here's your host, GoPowerCat.com publisher, Tim Fitzgerald.
If you think you're having deja vu, do not adjust your dial. There's not a dial. There's a web browser. Don't adjust your web browser. This is the PowerCat Questions Podcast, the second one in 24 hours. Why? Because you guys are butt kickers. That's why. You're outstanding question askers. And we got to recording the other day and we realized we have a lot of material here. We have either one really long podcast or two relatively normal-sized podcasts. Maybe a little bit shorter, but hey, don't complain. Boy, that sounded bad. That didn't at all mean what I think it sounded like. Tim Fitzgerald, Zach Carlson, Ryan Gilbert. God, I have problems saying your last name, man. I have so many problems with your name. Can we just change your name to like something more simple like Johansson?
Worked for me.
Yeah. Ryan Johansson. You kind of sound like a model then. Man.
Ah.
You got it all except the actual model stuff.
In a European accent.
Yes. I am Ryan.
I'm Ryan of Ostia.
Yeah, you kind of look Aryan, too. Let's not go there. Yeah, we have regrouped to add to a podcast that was already recorded. I know that's confusing, but hey, that's the way it is. This podcast is going to be a little bit different. We got some great questions about K-State sports. And then the second half, we're going to throw it open to Royals, and we're going to talk about some other things in the sporting world because we may need to do that a lot in the future, unfortunately. As we said yesterday, we think football is going to happen. In the last umpteen hours since we recorded the previous podcast, has anyone had a change of heart about football season at least starting at some point this fall?
Was that a rhetorical question? I don't know what that – were you asking the listeners?
I was asking you, but
– okay. I thought that was like a Dora the Explorer. Do you see the fox?
Yes, it's often a reference I use as a 56-year-old man. I often quote Dora the Explorer. That'd be a good rap name. Huh. I mean, you guys feel the same as we did the other day. There's nothing. They're going to go for it. Unless something really bad pops up, they're going to go for it. At least the Big 12 is, I think. I don't know.
Take that, Kirk Herbstreit.
Yeah, that'll show you.
Did he have a new one? Did he have a new thing to say?
I don't think so.
I don't think so. Or are we still going back to April when he said that?
Yeah, I'm okay. So bitter. You know, he's kind of been quiet, hasn't he?
Yeah.
He's kind of gotten into the woodwork a little bit and just kind of hidden, but that's okay. It's fine. It's fine. We disagreed with your opinion on that, Kirk, and we didn't think you were wrong. We just thought you were too hasty.
He said there was no college football, and he's checked out for 2020. That's why we haven't heard from him.
Oh, yeah.
He made his declaration, and
if
that's
Kirk,
what it is.
Herbstreit poops in the woods, would the Pope have a white hat? No, that's not how it goes. I don't even know where I'm going with that. Hey, I know one place I'll be going later this weekend. It's the Fridge Wholesale Liquor. The Fridge is the sponsor of the PowerCat podcast. They've done that for a long time because they're wonderful people and they like us. I can't explain that. But you guys go to the fridge and you tell them you go to the fridge. You say, do you have Die Hard on VHS? They don't get the joke, but then we know you've been there. I don't know.
An idea fits.
Go for it.
With Manhattan Brewing Company, I know they're not a sponsor, but they're a new business that's opened up. Can we convince them to brew a beer called Die Hard on VHS?
Can we convince
them? And they sell it at the fridge.
Are they going to bottle? I don't know if they're even going to bottle or can. I think they're just doing it all in-house beers.
Oh.
That'd be funny, though.
Please, come on, do it.
That'd be funny, though. We probably need to talk to them about being a sponsor. Huh? Hmm? They seem like they'd be good people to have in our side. In case, you know, there's a shortage of beer, it's good to have a beer maker.
Do you know if they took over any of the Tallgrass's stuff, like the production? Or were they completely separate? I thought that might have been a part of it at one point, but maybe not.
Maybe they got some equipment. I'm not sure where they got their equipment. I know that Wichita Brewing, that took over a couple of the labels, the Buffalo Sweat and the...
Bought
a lot of their equipment, too. And their operation. So
I hope they bring back Halcyon.
I like
that. That was
Halcyon.
The best beer.
I know. And they didn't seem convinced that it was a good beer. At the end of the day, here's my analysis of the beer-making industry in Manhattan. I don't think Tallgrass had enough mainstream people. They got too fringe too quickly. They never grew this market. They never had roots down. They never had something to fall back on. They never had a beer in Manhattan that was on everyone's tap and every visitor came and saw it and said, hey, that's a great beer. Where can I get it? They just kind of decided we're going to go into stores everywhere. And frankly, that's what a lot of people are doing. I think they miss the power of K-State Nation and, you know, going in with having a real nice, stable base beer. And I'm not talking about 8-Bit or Buffalo Sweat, which were really good beers. Those are your add-on beers. You need the Boulevard Wheat. You've got to have that. And Boulevard Wheat is all over Kansas City, all over the Midwest. People ask about Boulevard beers, and off you go. So I just think they missed out on that. If you're starting a brewery, get a nice base beer that's safe and delicious. That's my advice. Don't make it too hoppy. Do you like hoppy beer, Zach? You're not a big beer guy anyhow.
No. I mean, I don't like IPAs.
Yeah, I don't either.
It's just... Yeah, once Tallgrass stopped making Halcyon, yeah. I didn't get Tallgrass.
Yeah, everything was ultra hoppy or sour, and I'm not into either.
Yeah.
Maybe they can make one called Safe for Gills, and it'll taste just like Natty Light. Natty Light
for me.
With what's your favorite pizza topping?
I like black olives.
That was a choice.
What?
I would have never guessed. Even Daphne started barking on that one. Daphne's confused by that choice. Oh, well, I'm not going to infuse a beer with black olives. I was thinking sausage or pepperoni. I don't know. Just odd.
Pineapple? Does pineapple go on pizza, guys?
It doesn't go on pizza, but it can go in a beer. That's fine.
Better than black olives.
Yeah. Yeah. That's enough of that. This podcast, I'm going to call it a segment, since yesterday's edition of the PowerCat Questions podcast, the segment sponsors was, this is confusing, guys, Tanner's. Today, it's the high-low. Get into the high-low when you're in Manhattan. I'm desperately wanting to get in the high-low, but I'm not ready to do that. Have a little table in the back with a slice of pizza and yell at people, get away from me. Get into the high-low. If you see me, only say high-low if your mask is on your face. Don't come spitting on me, you weirdos. That's enough of all that. Let's get going with our questions from Wabash Station. Now he's going to take over and do his magic, if you want to call it that. Here's Ryan Gilbert.
From Contra Cat, if you take K-State off the board, which fellow conference member are you okay with dominating conference football for the next decade?
Wow. TCU, because it's purple. Let me think about that. K Kansas, well, that's just not going to happen, nor would I be okay with it. Iowa State, oh, God, they'd be insufferable. Oklahoma State, maybe a little bit. Oklahoma, yeah. Just kind of, I guess, Oklahoma, because we're already used to it. Baylor, no way. Texas, no way. TCU, or stick with Oklahoma.
West Virginia?
No.
I forgot them.
I don't have any problem with them.
They're on an island. They should be in. That's like the ACC. Why should the ACC have two teams get to be conference champions?
Wow. Harsh. Truth, but harsh.
Probably either Oklahoma State, TCU. I'll even say Texas. Just
whoa.
Because. Hey, hear me out. Whoa. Hear me out.
I'm out of here. See you guys.
Oklahoma. Oklahoma has dominated the league for, let's be real, 20 years. They have been at the top for 20 years. They have been the team to beat. And when they go and represent the Big 12 Conference, they fall flat. Big Game Bob won one game, and that was at the very beginning of this 20-year, two decades of dominance, quote-unquote. They haven't done anything since. I think they won one Sugar Bowl in the last 10 years, and that's it. Oklahoma does not deserve to be dominant anymore. And if that means Texas being dominant, and if Texas can get the job done when OU can't, yeah, I'll let Texas be the dominant team. Absolutely.
Damn.
But yeah, TCU and Oklahoma State, be okay with that too. Damn. But if you're tired of OU being the dominant team, yeah, give me horns up. Hook 'em horns. Yeah.
I feel like I need to add some sound effects in here. There's a big explosion because Zach dropped a bomb on the podcast. Gills, your thoughts?
I mean, yeah, TCU and Oklahoma State, nothing bad to say about them. I'm obviously more of a West Virginia fan than Zach, I guess, but I don't see how I could ever be okay with Texas ruling our conference. I mean, no one likes Oklahoma, but I don't have as much of a problem with them as I do with Texas.
I agree with you on that.
And plus, when you put Oklahoma, I know they're getting embarrassed out here in their, you know, primetime, you know, playoff games. But can you imagine Texas getting blown out in those games as well? It'd be way worse.
I can't, because they'd be winning.
Okay, well, I guess that's true, part of the question. But so then Oklahoma, if they were the dominating one, then they would be winning.
Ha ha. Well, they've
if you need to a question like that.
They need to step down from their throne. Move on.
Well, we're not really moving on. From Contra Cat, another question. What basketball program supplants Kansas for the next decade in the same dream world that you can be okay with if it's not Kansas State?
It's funny, I think Kansas State, in a world in which the NCAA rules are enforced, Kansas State's a logical choice because Bruce Weber plays within those rules and knows how to win within those rules. Until that happens, I won't believe it. The team that supplants, and it's not Kansas State, I would go with Oklahoma State. I have a feeling Mike Boynton's got something going on here. Maybe he's cheating too. I don't know, but I just kind of feel like they're on the cusp of breaking loose. I'm a big Mike Boynton fan. I like that guy a lot.
Yeah. He likes Riley Gates too. He's really nice to him.
Mike Boynton, I hate to tell Riley this. Mike Boynton's nice to everyone. Riley just felt special because Mike was nice to him, but you know, he's
kind of. Thanks for the question, Riley.
Yeah, that's just Mike. He's just a good dude.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with Oklahoma State. It's a little off topic, but man, the Thunder absolutely crushed OU and Oklahoma State basketball.
Mm-hmm.
They destroyed college basketball. And I would love to see a team, an NBA team in Kansas City, because I don't think it would hurt K-State that much.
No.
I think that K-State fans would still come, but boy, those KU fans, those t-shirt KU fans that everyone knows and loves. Oh, they're going to go watch the Kansas City Monarchs play some basketball.
Oh,
I'm assuming that's the name. I mean, why not?
That's been my choice for an NBA name. It just makes so much sense.
Man, the Kings can stay purple in Sacramento, and then you got some red, white, and blue Kansas City Monarchs, little heart logo, playing basketball in the NBA in Kansas City.
Yeah.
At the T-Mobile Center. They're going to have to make everything pink, Fitz.
Oh, God, not pink.
But yeah, I would love to see Oklahoma State be the team. I'd love to see Texas back too. It's funny seeing how great Texas has always been, you know, and now they are a mid-table team in everything.
Mm-hmm.
They're nothing. And I would love to see Texas's back. I mean, it's if you remove K-State out of it, and if K-State cannot be the team to beat, boy, Oklahoma and Texas going at each other as the two big dogs in the conference is the best thing to have. I think that's the best thing for the long-term stability of the Big 12 is having two dominant teams in it, being Oklahoma and Texas. You know, why not? So I'd love to see Texas basketball back, but if you had to see a team be dominant, I think Oklahoma State is the best choice.
I agree. Gil's thoughts?
The most realistic choice is Baylor. Certainly a great basketball program they've got going on right now, but I'd like to see West Virginia staying with that theme, you know, Huggy Bear. I like seeing his success, and then Lon Kruger at Oklahoma as well. I think there's a big difference between Oklahoma basketball and football. I'd like to see some success with them. As far as like coaches, this is kind of, that's how I'm gauging this. So I'm a big West Virginia fan today, I guess. That's my answer.
Are you? Do you happen to be an Oregon fan or an Illinois fan or South Carolina fan too?
No. I'll follow them, though.
Because you got the joke, Fitz, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got it.
Okay.
I think I got it, too.
Okay.
Former K-State coaches?
Yeah.
Or Austin Peay. With Matt Figure.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, P. Yeah. Wake Edward Forest. Hill,
right?
Now, Wake Forest for the future.
Damn you. John Curry. Going back to Zach's point, I love this point. If K-State really wanted to do one thing that it has within its power to screw with KU basketball, it would be the big donors in Kansas City unite to get an NBA team. I'm dead serious, because it's really not, you mentioned fans, but it's about corporate money too.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden the suite holders are buying stuff at T-Mobile instead of Allen Fieldhouse, or, you know, the suite tickets that they get and all of those things. You see a shift in money, a shift in just general fans, and then go out and sign, you know, a couple. Like, I'd try to get Jock Vaughn as the head coach, you know? Just, number one, I think he's going to be a great head coach. If you really want to screw with KU basketball and do it in a kind of a cool way, you go get an NBA team and you name them the Kansas City Monarchs. You probably have to get away from the red and blue. I mean, you know, I think the Monarchs at one time were blue and yellow, but I don't know. Just update.
Were they not ever blue?
I think
they're just, am I misremembering?
No, they're red and blue. Yeah.
Okay.
I think there was, I've seen a Monarchs hat in blue and yellow from one of their seasons, but I don't know. You can make those colors whatever. And maybe you want to avoid those colors because those belong to the Negro League baseball team that we all cherish so much with the culture of Kansas City. So, go do that. Rich people that listen to this podcast, go get an NBA team in Kansas City. See, if you whisper, KU fans can't hear it because their ears can't hear certain things because they're KU fans and they're above us, so they can't hear our whispers.
From Contra Cat, what trick play would you want to see added to the playbook and get called to the season?
Whatever Robert wants. Robert offers up trick plays, whatever he wants. I defer my vote to Robert Lipson, K-State superfan.
Mine's always going to be a fake field goal.
Yeah, I agree.
Always. I always contended that if K-State ever ran a fake field goal, that that was going to be the year that Snyder retired. And I don't think they ever ran a fake field goal that was, like, called, but I'm pretty sure there was one that, like, fell apart, and they just tried scoring, and it didn't work.
I think it was Missouri State in, like, 2010, 2011. I'm pretty sure they ran one, and they got it successfully.
Hmm. We'd have to go back. I have no clue.
I feel like they missed their opportunity with Devin Engtel as the holder, too, because that dude's an athlete. I mean, I bet you – well, and if you go back and think about when Nick Walsh was around, he would truck people. He would truck returners that got loose in the open field. He would just lay them out. So I'm almost wondering if that – and he was a running back in high school, I think. I wonder if he could be run over someone. He was kind of a fearless little crap. He'd just go do that.
That reminds me of the story Pat McAfee tells about being a holder and they're going to run a fake field goal. And he's gonna score, and they're playing the Steelers, and it's Troy Polamalu. He calls him Polamalu, which that's how I call him now. It's hilarious, but he always, like, the C gap is always open, and then just the time they're gonna play it, he's like, this is a 100%er, and then Polamalu lines up in the C gap. And like Pat's like, I'm gonna get killed. So he's like, there's no like set like kill, you know, audible. So it's like, we are kicking it, and tells everybody that. So Vinatieri kicks it, and then he gets over, and the coach is like, hey, what'd you see there? He's like, Polamalu was in the C gap. All right, it sounds like you made the good call then. he's so mad that he didn't get it. Have his touchdown because it was going to be a 100%er, but
it's a great
never lines up there and then decides to line up there.
He's so funny. He's the best.
Yeah.
From Darren Sproles Superfan, who is your favorite assistant coach to ever interview from the Coach Snyder tree? Who is your least favorite? What was one of your favorite stories?
Fitz, that's going to be a question mostly for you, I guess.
Favorite assistant coach to interview from the Coach Snyder tree? Levitt, Jim Levitt. He was great. I remember K-State played in Orlando in the basketball tournament, NCAA basketball tournament, Steve Henson year. Am I getting things crossed in my old man brain? And after K-State was eliminated, I went over to called and set up an appointment, went over to South Florida and talked to Jim and sat in his trailer before they even were playing football. I mean, they didn't own footballs, and he was just so great. Jim was awesome. He is awesome. He's just such a colorful person. I enjoyed talking to Bob Stoops, otherwise known as Bobby, when he was at K-State. Another funny story, I remember when he was hired at Oklahoma, I called him Bobby Stoops, and Oklahoma fans thought I was being disrespectful. Like, no, that's what he went by when he was at K-State, and Coach Snyder still called him Bobby. Least favorite? I don't know. That's hard, man. I'm trying to think. I mean, if I didn't like talking to him, we didn't request him. You know what I mean? We just didn't call him in. I guess not anything personal, but probably Mo Lattimore. I mean, Mo never really said anything, but it was fun.
I always said it, man. Oh, that guy's really coming along.
You know, it's Mo voice. I don't know. They really, like I said, if we didn't like him, we didn't have him in. I remember sitting in the early days, going in when I could go shoot the you-know-what with coaches. I'd sit down in Mangino's office and talk about stuff. And, well, recruiting. I'd talk about recruiting. But, you know, those were good. That was kind of fun. But he was always one of those guys that when they didn't get someone, they didn't really want him. That bugged me. I don't know. I miss those days. I really like the fact that now we can talk to coaches. I really enjoy these coaches a lot. I like Scotty Hazleton a lot. I was sorry to see him go from just a selfish standpoint. But I like Connor Riley, Klannerman, Brian Anderson, Van Malone, of course. I mean, there's nobody on the staff I don't like. That's been what's fun about this group is they're really likable guys and they're good to talk to. But, man, you know, when you go back and think about being able to talk to the assistant coaches 2004 and earlier, how much better our coverage was, honestly. And having that back is so nice. You get that context and the kind of contour of having those opinions of the coaches that are more hands-on with their players. But, yeah, Levitt, Stoops. Man, those were great days to talk to assistant coaches. Venables was awesome. I mean, because you never knew what Brent was going to say. He was just Mr. Energy. So, yeah, I miss Venables.
I guess for me, Colin Klein's the only one on the coaching tree that I've had the opportunity to be around. So there you go.
I always like talking to Dana Denwell just because if you listen to Life of Fitz podcast, I mean, we're friends from way back. So, I mean, yeah. We'd end up, same with Underwood. We'd end up talking about other stuff.
Another question from Darren Sproul, superfan. Remove the 1998 game. What is a football game you were sure K-State would win and they lost?
I'd probably go last season with West Virginia. Honestly, I would have bet my house that we're going to be West Virginia in Manhattan. I still can't explain that. The Marshall
I'd go Liberty
game.
Bowl.
Marshall game.
Oh, yeah.
03. Even though they had injuries, I still thought they'd win that. Brian Prince lost to Louisville at home. That was unexplainable with a backup quarterback. Louisville backup quarterback. So, yeah, there were some real zingers in there. I imagine if I go to 04 and 05, I'd find some, you know, that before we, particularly 04, before we fully realized they were in trouble.
The Marshall game's probably one, but if I had to go recent, I'd probably say even Navy last year before West Virginia. I was 99% confident on that one. I thought they were going to win that one pretty easily. And I don't know. That game kind of reminded me of West Virginia in 18, 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. Just kind of a boring, low-scoring game that nothing really went right for K-State.
Heading into a game, I think the Baylor game back in 2012, that was not something I thought would even be close. But during a game, I don't know if that's what the question was meant to be, but the TCU game in 2015 when we were up, couple touchdowns at halftime when they were ranked like number two or number three. I really thought we were going to pull off that upset, but obviously we pulled a K-State and choked it away. But I thought we were going to win that game.
I guess another answer with that in mind would be Bill Snyder's last game at Iowa State when they were ahead and let that slip away. But as that was happening, I could see it coming. I just knew the team wasn't in the right place mentally, and I could see that coming. And it did happen. That's it for the first half of the Second Questions podcast of this week. I hope you find that confusing because we're confused, but we're not confused about where we're going. We're going into break, and then we're going to be back after that with some non-Kansas State sports questions. Very strange.
Stay locked in. The Power Cat podcast will be right back.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Imagine sleeping in the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bull & Branch's iconic sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bull & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code Odyssey. So head to B-O-L-L and Branch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
We now send it back to Fitz in the WTC Gig Powered Studios.
Welcome back to the Power Cat Royals podcast. I guess that's what we're going to call it. I don't know. We're going to have to throw this open to some other things. People did ask some Royals questions, and I'm happy about that because baseball season starts Friday for the Royals. Woo! Let the losing begin! I'm just excited to have something. Tim Fitzgerald, Ryan Gilbert, and Zach Carlson, your trifecta of knowledge. Okay, guys, first controversial topic. Let me start with this. Zach, you noticed right before we started taping this that Seattle has announced their new NHL branding.
Yes.
And they got it right.
Amazing.
They are releasing the Kraken on Seattle, and the logos and everything are incredible. It's so perfect for, I think it sounds good with Kansas City. It would have been nice for Kansas City's nickname, but the fact that Seattle's on the ocean makes it pretty badass. I like it a lot.
I love how Seattle has a common theme with their colors across their teams. Everything is blue, navy blue, and then some sort of shade of green. Like the Seahawks is kind of lime green, or, you know, a different green, I guess. You have the Seattle Mariners that are your traditional green, maybe a little on the lighter side, but traditional green. And then you have Seattle Kraken now with a kind of seafoam green, which makes a lot of sense because it's a Kraken.
It's a Kraken. Ryan Gilbert, do you know what a Kraken is?
I don't know if they're real or not.
They're not.
They're some sort of sea monster,
yeah,
right?
They're not. Yeah. As far as we know, they're not.
Is it a myth? Okay.
Yeah. Release the Kraken. We hope it's a myth. I mean, if one shows up for the home opener, holy hell. Seattle's in big trouble.
Try throwing that on the ice. Yeah, Detroit.
No doubt. Yeah, I never thought about that, Zach. They're kind of going for a Pittsburgh thing. Pittsburgh's all yellow and black.
Yeah.
And now they're kind of doing a green thing.
Now, when the Seattle Supersonics come back, are they going to change their color palette too? Will they change from being green and yellow, and will they be navy blue and a different shade of green?
They should. Do you think they'll be the Sonics still?
Oh, yeah. They'll be the Supersonics.
You do?
It wouldn't. So I know they kind of changed to the Sonics. They weren't really the Supersonics officially, I don't think, or at least in their logo. I think they'll take over the Supersonics. They'll go back, and I think they'll include that in, like, word marks and stuff. I think they'll change the logo to something cooler.
Yeah.
Because the last one they had was very stereotypical 90s graphic design. There's a lot of NBA teams that have bad logos.
Yeah.
Namely the Thunder. How you can be a brand new team and have a logo that bad is kind of embarrassing.
Teams just rebrand. Get new logos. Do whatever you need to do. Get modern. Sell stuff. I'm all for it. Yeah, I think they use the Sonics. They should rebrand the logo, the colors, everything. Do you think it'll be Seattle and Kansas City, the next two franchises in the NBA?
I don't know. I think Seattle is probably next in line. If they can get an ownership group there, just because of what Clay Bennett did, I think that the NBA is absolutely going to try making amends there before going anywhere else.
Right. I agree with that.
I don't know if Kansas City is an expansion level player for the NBA at this point.
They keep popping up on every NBA list. That NBA
seems every
more
time
interested than the Kansas City people realize.
Yeah. They keep showing up on the list, but until there's like a solid ownership group, I don't know if John Sherman wants to dabble in NBA as well, or I don't think the Hunts really want to do it. I don't think the I-Leagues want to do it. I feel like there's got to be another person that's local to Kansas City that comes into play if you're going to have a team, especially either that or an NHL team.
How about all the comedians get together as an ownership group? Paul Rudd and Stone Street and Sudeikis and all those guys get together.
I don't know if they have a billion dollars between all of them.
NBA teams aren't that expensive, are they?
For an expansion team, yeah, probably. Probably to get the... I mean, MLS just a few years ago was $100 million. For an expansion team, and that keeps it for every round of expansion for MLS, and that's just soccer. It's more than $100 million now. It keeps going up as the league gets bigger.
Yeah.
So obviously the fees for others are bigger than that. I want to say the Seattle NHL team was probably close to $1 billion. I might be way off, but I feel like that $1 billion range is kind of the threshold at this point for an expansion franchise, because I mean, that's what these teams are going for. I mean, the Royals just sold for $1 billion. If you're a league and you're going to let some ownership group in a brand new city come in and, you know, pay less than what the market value is for just buying another team, I think that the owners wouldn't like that very much.
Gills, if you had $2 billion, would you spend $1 billion on an NBA or NHL franchise?
Yeah, I'd do it.
Yeah, that's nice to know. Go get $2 billion. Let's do this.
I love when the Powerball or Mega Millions gets up to like $1.5 billion and all the sports people are like, ooh, which sports franchise would you pick? And I'm like, well, that's the annuity. That's a billion and a half dollars, you know? Like, you don't get that straight up front.
You're going to get a lot less than that. If you take cash, it's about 40% of that.
Cash is about half of the annuity, and then you're going to have to pay 40% taxes on that. So I think the general rule is about a third of what the advertised price is what you're going to get in cash.
But with all that said, if you have the right face, you can lead an ownership group. You know, like, I don't know, J-Lo and A-Rod have that much money to buy the Mets, but they're a visible couple to be the head of the ownership group as they try to get the Mets. Kevin Garnett trying to get the Timberwolves. Just very interesting.
I think it's interesting, former players being able to buy teams.
You know, like how much they're paid.
Yeah, you're paid out so much, and if from that money that you're paid out, the ownership group is able to sell at a price that they feel comfortable at to a former player is just kind of wild in my eyes.
Okay, next topic as we plunge into some Royals questions. It was just announced by Fox Television that when they broadcast baseball games, they are going to not just insert crowd noise, they're going to digitally insert a crowd into the stands. I think I'm running into a generational problem here or disagreement. I think it's atrocious. I think it's ridiculous to make such a false reality. I kind of get the crowd noise a little bit, but I was kind of looking forward to baseball being what it is this year and such a unique thing. I just think it's odd. What do you guys think about a fake crowd actually physically putting digital people in the stands?
At the very least, from the crowd noise aspect, I've been watching a decent amount of Premier League, MLS. The added crowd noise is incredible. I love it in Premier League games. And somebody's literally sitting there timing it to get all the cheers, you know, timed correctly, you know, the different chants. Like, it's like, and when the camera's zoomed in on the field, you can't see 99% of the stadium. Right. And, you know, when you can cover it up with tarps, kind of like Baylor,
right.
You know, like just cover up your seats. It doesn't, you really can't tell. It just, you're watching it on TV and it's part of the experience. I think that having the crowd noise adds a lot. The digital crowds don't really bother me. If it looks good, you know, I'm fine with it. But, you know, if you got the cardboard cutouts in and if that looks better than what you can put digitally, you know, I'm really not bothered by the digital crowds thing. Just from playing, you know, enough sports video games, you see the AI there, and over time, you know, they used to be really bad. And now, you know, those fake crowds that they put into video games are pretty good. So if it looks like that, you know, not really bothered by it, especially like in baseball, as long as you've got like the expensive seats filled with players, you know, like just seeing those guys sitting there in those seats instead of fake fans, I think that's better than having the fake fans in it. But like, if you know, on the zoom out shots, like on the home run shot, and there's fans out in the outfield, you know, that's not going to bother me. So what would bother me is if like you're watching a Tampa Bay game and they have fake fans in it, but it's full. Like that's just not reality there, you know?
I mean, yeah, showing the game without fans is pretty normal for them. Gills, you're the whippersnapper around here. How do you feel about fake fans in the stands?
I'm with you, boss. There you go. Unless it can sound 100% like a real fan reaction would, and I'm not saying it won't, so I'll give it a chance, but I'm not really a huge fan of just the crowd noise in general. And I think having fake fans in the stands is really weird as well. But I mean, if like Zach's saying, like the MLS or Premier League, whatever the hell you're watching over there, if it can sound 100% just like a fan would sound, I'll be okay with it.
Someone on the Twitter machine had a really cool suggestion. It's kind of too late for it because you have to develop an app and have it be able to assign people to each crowd person, but actually have a fan assigned to a digital fan to cheer, to boo, to have reactions over your app during the game. I thought that was kind of cool. I don't know. You got to be careful not to, you know, let the wrong fans in, start booing your home team. But anyhow, well, enough of all that. We're sponsored by The Fridge and The High-Low in this edition of the PowerCat Questions podcast. Let's get rolling with some Royals questions. It's so weird. We're going to talk about the Royals.
From Email Wildcat 82, how long will it take Mike Matheny to get the Royals back on top of their division, given his relatively solid success with the Cardinals?
I love it. Hey, he's got to get the pitching. That young pitching in the Royals organization is amazing. He's got to get them up. So it's going to be a couple of years at least. I think a good thing that the Royals are doing is trading everyone to get more outfielders and then moving infielders to play the outfield. That's brilliant. I don't understand what they're doing. They keep getting outfielders in trades. It was funny. I mentioned it on the overtime last week.
Yeah.
Between then they did it again. They traded Tim Hill and got Franchi. I don't understand. They got another young outfielder, and now they're going to put Hunter Dozier, a third baseman, in right field. What are you doing? You have a second baseman in center field and a third baseman in right field, and you got a guy in left field who we all love. But you could
Shouldn't be there.
You could take all of those guys and put Bubba Starling and a bunch of other people out there to play the outfield because why? They're young outfielders. I don't know. I think this is the thing is they just need to get through this phase. This 60 games is going to suck. After watching the Royals two games against the Astros, man, it was painful. It was painful. But they just got to get the young pitching ready. When the young pitching hits, it's going to be incredible.
The fact that Alex Gordon is still parked in left field is ridiculous, especially like you mentioned, all these outfielders that they're bringing in, and you still have Alex Gordon parked out there. Then you have Soler at DH, who is a right fielder. You know, I'm perplexed. I don't get it. You know,
I don't either.
Now you got Sally back, which is good, but you know, he's one that you could probably put at DH. Valoria is not a terrible catcher, my opinion. I mean, yes, Salvi's a really good catcher, but he's also been out for a year, you know? He might be a better DH candidate for this 60-game season. I know this isn't really talking long-term like the question asks, but I like the guys that the Royals have. I like Bobby Witt Jr. I like the guys that are going to be coming up. But
I think they just need to put guys out there this year. Play Bobby Wood. 60 games, man. Play him. He's been the best guy in camp. Play him. And then if he's not ready after 30 games, you know, cycle him out and move someone else in there. Maybe he's in Omaha next year. I don't know. Maybe he's in Arkansas. I don't know. But maybe he's with Kansas City all year. I don't even know the name of this third baseman they picked up, and I don't even want to bother knowing it. Why? Why did you go get him so you could move Hunter Dozier to the outfield to displace another young outfielder? I don't understand sometimes what they're doing. It frustrates me. Just go do your thing with this 60 games and see what happens.
Another part of me, though, just wants me to see them try. It's 60 games. You know, if you can get a good swing of 20 games where you go 13-7, 14-6, 12-8, yeah. I mean, even 12-8, I mean, if you can go 12-8 over a course of over a 20 game stretch, that is incredible. You're going to be set up looking really good for the postseason. Oh. I don't know how expanded it's going to be, but
it's the same. They couldn't come to an agreement.
Oh, it's so going to be the same.
Yeah, I think that might change as they go. Maybe the players will say let's expand it, but the players wouldn't agree to it, so they just moved ahead with it as is.
But, I mean, 33 to 35 wins is probably going to be your target window for making the playoffs.
Yep.
I think that that's going to be a reasonable spot for a team to make the playoffs. Part of me just wants to see them just go for it. And if they can win a Mickey Mouse World Series, I'll take it, you know?
Just get a bunch of young, dumb players and let them go play and have fun. Maybe they'll realize they won't realize in a 60-game season they're in over their head, because that's a big part of 162. It's a grind, and players aren't mentally ready for that. 60 games, let him play. Go let Bubba Starling be the center fielder. I don't get this. Go get some guys and give them a chance. Do you really think they're going to make the playoffs? Do you really think they're going to win the World Series? No, not with the lineup they have. Why not just put a bunch of young guys out there and let them go and use this as a learning opportunity?
Yeah. Didn't know you guys felt so passionately angry.
I'm a Royals fan.
Angry.
The Royals should be good.
They should. But you're a small market team, man. You got your window of success, and then you suck.
Yeah, I understand what they're doing, but I don't understand what they're doing. They don't seem to be really loading up for the future by sitting young players that need to get experience. I don't get it.
The only part of me thinks maybe they're reversing their strategy of, you know, have all these young pitchers and use them for currency for your outfield players or whatever. Maybe they're loading up, doing the reverse. Let's load up on a bunch of young outfielders and use them as the currency for some pitchers.
I don't know. They've got great pitchers coming up. But they're just a couple years away.
From D. Bremer 73. Is that correct, Zach?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
There we go. Round of applause for Gills, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
When are the Royals going to pay more than minimum wage for a pitcher?
They're running it on the cheap right now. They want to get to those rookie contracts. They are not in the market. If you're a big market team with a lot of money, you can go get outfielders, fielders, you know, position players, and buy your pitching. And it drives the market way above what the Royals can do. They can't go buy those pitchers. So they have to develop them, bring them up. They have to do the opposite. If you watch the draft, at least it's been that way in the couple years in the past, a lot of those, you know, the Yankees type organizations are really focused on finding star position players because they plan on buying your young pitchers or trading for your young pitchers with those position players. Because there's a better upside to a fielder than a pitcher. You don't know what a great young arm might blow out or just may not develop that third pitch that they need. But, you look at a Bobby Witt Jr., he's ready. You know, he's ready to be AAA at the least probably. And that's what they're trying to do.
I mean, I think it's going to take a real run before the Royals are – or, you know, at least, you know, preseason, a good outlook, you know, better than 500 before the Royals are going to say, yeah, let's spend a whole bunch of money on, you know, a big name or a big-ish name. I think that's one of the frustrating things about being a Royals fan is they'll bring in these pitchers, you know, veteran guys, and they'll pay them a decent chunk of money, but you've never heard of them, you know? Like, they were fourth and fifth guys on the rotation on a decent team, you know? So I think it's going to be a while before we see some pitchers making more than minimum wage.
I agree.
Last question of the podcast from Ema Wildcat 82. Will Eric Stone Street use royalty income from Modern Family to secure lucrative player contracts?
No. I think Stoney owns 1%. I don't know. I've never asked him what he owns, but it was $1 billion bid. They bought the Royals for $1 billion. So to own 1%, you had to put in $10 million.
I don't think that Eric Stone Street has $10 million in the Royals.
I don't either.
I personally do not believe that.
I don't know. It's incredible. No, I wouldn't do that if I was him. I might invest in the Kansas City Monarchs of the NBA. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's maybe what I would do. Stick that team in Kansas City, have them play in the Magenta Arena, the Magenta building. Maybe you have a magenta. Maybe magenta is one of your colors. Not pink, truly magenta. And you corner the sales of pink uniforms. It just becomes yours. I always thought that the Las Vegas Golden Knights, horrible name, should have been the Flamingos, and they should have embraced pink. It's perfect for Vegas. Pink neon.
Well, there you go. David Beckham's Miami team, MLS team, they're pink. And they have flamingos in the logo. It's actually, like, as far as new teams in any sport over the last 10 years, I think they have the best look.
Yeah.
It's a really cool look with having pink tops for one of your uniforms. And then, I mean, it looks, I mean, when they reverse it with the black and then you have the pink in the logo, I mean, it looks almost like neon. Like it's like, it's a cool look. I think that would have been cool for a hockey team in
I would
Vegas.
Absolutely do that. If I did the Monarchs, I'd probably go with black, magenta, and I don't know. I guess you probably should have orange if you're the Monarchs. That'd be like a color vomit. But no.
That'd be awful.
It'd be awful. That's probably why it'd work. Of course, you probably need to add in teal. Teal is, you know.
Yeah. Tom Asbury teal.
Mm-hmm. Tom Asbury teal. He actually has a Crayola now. Tom Asbury teal.
I'm pretty sure you can actually get custom Crayola crayons. And if
that'd be so funny.
After this podcast, I might be placing an order for some custom labeled Crayola.
And also you can get some Dana Altman vanilla white, because that was how people described him. He was the kind of the Melba toast, the vanilla of coaches when he was at K-State. I don't know.
You need the alliteration, though, for Crayola.
Ah, that's true.
Yeah.
Altman off-white. Is that good enough? That's it for the podcast. We're talking about damn crayons. This is
you
long.
What? How'd you say crayon?
Crayons.
Oh. Crowns.
What? Oh.
Wow. Crowns. The most controversial topic of the podcast emerges in the final seconds.
Oh,
save that for the overtime. Someone ask us, how do you pronounce that word of colored wax things? Writing instruments. That's it for your second Power Cat Questions podcast of the week, and we still have the overtime to come. We're trying to spoil you guys. You deserve to be spoiled. You've been good, real fans. You're not digitally placed into Go Power Cat. You have willfully decided to be part of the family. And remember, until Thursday at 11 p.m. Central, 50% off a subscription. 50% off a subscription. Don't miss out. We'll talk to you again really soon with the overtime.
You've been listening to the Power Cat Questions podcast, presented by Fridge Wholesale Liquor. Power Cat Podcast. All rights reserved. GoPowerCat.com and Spirit Street Publishing.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.